Matthew chapter 25. Before we stand and read, I had mentioned to you this morning just for sake of understanding, when you study through your Bible, when you hear the phrase kingdom of heaven, that does not automatically mean this is heaven. This is the group, the kingdom of heaven. It is interchangeable with kingdom of God. Now, when you read kingdom of God in the Bible, you are talking about the crowd that's saved, the crowd that is going to heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so you are talking about the saved. Now, sometimes when you read kingdom of heaven, you are looking at, you just have to take it in light of the context. You are looking at saved people only. But I would say kingdom of heaven in a lot of ways is a picture of, I would say, really a picture of religion, period. Because when you're reading the Bible about kingdom of heaven, you read about saved people and lost people, but perhaps people that were religious just lost. So you kind of need to understand that, because we see the word heaven, we automatically think, wow, I thought you couldn't lose your salvation. Why is that saying somebody's being cast out if they're a part of the kingdom of heaven? It's not talking about heaven, the heaven of heavens where we'll go to one day. Someone put it like this. The church, if you drew circles, the church would be the center there. Those are born-again Christians who are part of a local church and faithful to God. And then there's a circle on the outside of that, and that's the kingdom of God. That's all the saved, even though there are some not part of a church. That's all the saved. And then you have a circle on the outside of that, which is the kingdom of heaven. Those are saved and unsaved people. And then you have a circle on the outside of that, which is all the world or all mankind, just to kind of understand. Now, we're going to see that here in Matthew chapter number 25. So let's stand together and we'll read through a passage here. In Matthew 25, I'm looking back in Matthew 24. I don't see it there, but in Matthew 25, verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. Well, remember, some were ready, some were not. Look at verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now remember, we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ tonight. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. That word several means separate, distinct, differing. The Bible says they, comparing themselves among themselves, are unwise. One of the best things you can learn in Christianity is be yourself. I don't mean be carnal and say I'm just going to be who I am. I mean be who God made you to be. Another lesson we can learn is let other people be themselves. Your ability. Straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went, traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. This is almost a crowd that says, well, I don't have much talent, so I'm not going to do much in my church. I'll let others do it. God gave you something to serve him with. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what all of us want to hear. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, we use the word talent, ability, but this talent here, just for the picture of speaking of money, 1 talent would be 3,000 shekels, which would be, when I wrote it in my notes here a while back, would be equal to about $1,000 U.S. Today. Well, we don't know what it's worth today, but that more of a picture of 1 talent being about $1,000. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. All right. Now, here comes the excuse maker. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewed. He's beginning to make excuses. You're gathering where you haven't scattered. In other words, you can do what you want. You don't need me. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Wonder how many of us are hiding our talents. Wonder who could teach that just won't. I wonder who might be the best bus worker in this church that's not even in the bus ministry right now. Wonder who can sing that just won't. I know a lot that can't sing that want to. Verse 26 says, the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not should be taken away even that which he hath. That's complete opposite of the way our government runs things today. You don't work, we'll take from the rich, those that work hard, to let you not work. And it says, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if you think the kingdom of heaven is just all saved people and it's talking about heaven, it's not. And if you don't understand that, then you have a right to say, well, you don't have a right, but we have a reason now that you might say, well, I don't believe in eternal security because look at that right there. Well, it's not talking about all the saved people there. All right, we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ here tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we study more truth on the judgment seat of Christ. I pray it will motivate us tonight to stay faithful until you return or until you take us home at death. Bless, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We've already seen what the judgment seat of Christ is not. Tonight, we're going to see what the judgment seat of Christ is. We learned already the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to determine final destination. That will be decided right here and now in this life, whether you trust Christ as Savior or not. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to determine purgatory. There is no such thing as purgatory, and that's a lie straight out of hell, straight out of the Pope's mouth, straight off of the Catholic information sheet. Judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to punish us for sin. So when we stand before the Lord, our sin debt's already been paid. We're not going to stand there and pay for our sin debt. The judgment seat of Christ is not an immediate judgment after death. And we talked about that because it can't be, because our influence will live on beyond us. The judgment seat of Christ is not the same as the great white throne judgment. That'll be one of the last messages that we preach. But of course, the great white throne judgment is for those who are lost without Christ and have no chance of entering into heaven. At that point, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, I'm going to give you four areas tonight that talk about what the judgment seat of Christ is. Okay, so turn to Matthew chapter 13 first. Matthew chapter 13. I want you to see another parable about the kingdom of heaven. But Matthew chapter number 13. All right, in verse number 24, the Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now, I hate to say this, but, you know, in every church, there's probably wheat among tares. There's saved people and lost people. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. All right, so in a church setting, in a local church setting, unfortunately they're saved and unsaved. And I don't believe just on Sunday morning. I believe any service. You could have lost people sitting here, religious, churchy people sitting here that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. And one day at the rapture, that division is going to be made, and saved are going to heaven, lost are going to stay here for the tribulation period that we started to talk about this morning. Now, we're going to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Here's the thing that amazes me is how people think, you know, I can't believe I've got to answer the preacher for why I wasn't in church last Sunday. You got bigger fish to fry than me. Now, yes, there is a word, bishop, that a pastor is. That means overseer. Yes, a pastor is responsible for the local flock. And yes, the Bible says that a pastor watches for your soul. And by the way, it's not, you think, man, he's bossy, or man, he's expecting, or he's, hopefully not expecting, just a little fat, but, he expects, boy, you know what he's gonna think. If you don't do this and you don't do that, we ought to just do it for God, and it won't matter what a pastor. But if we have an issue giving an account to a pastor, what are we gonna do at the judgment seat of Christ? Thank God for a pastor who just kind of says, you know, you're kind of getting out of line here. Let's get back over here because we want to have a good judgment seat one day. Now, if you think it's fun to be the pastor, it's no more fun to be the pastor when you have problems with people being faithful or doing right or whatever than it is for anyone in here that's a supervisor at your job to know that, man, we've got to get these employees here, or we can't move forward, or they're not following the dress code or whatever it may be. So don't think, man, it must be fun to be a pastor. It's a wonderful office. It's a great thing. But it's not always a fun thing. We don't sit with a dartboard and say, hey, who am I going to get today? Wham! You know, we don't do that. The judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to stand before God one day. It'd be better off if we just serve God with our life and stop making excuses. And by the way, I don't want to get off course too far here tonight, but just some things on my mind tonight that we'll get to here pretty soon. But we can't have a ministry moving forward if the workers don't show up faithfully. And I've also seen, this is the part people don't like. They love the kind pastor who just preaches love and the end times. But I've also noticed some dress issues recently with folks in areas of ministry. We've got to straighten that out. We're going to have just a church like anyone else. I don't want the contemporary music. I don't want the contemporary crowd. I love the Bible colleges, but you don't have to mimic every way that they sing every song. You do what God wants. I don't want a YouTube church. I want what God wants us to do. Friend, listen to me. Listen really well on this one. If we believe we ought to dress a certain way, we ought to dress a certain way online also. If we believe showing the thigh is nakedness, which I believe it is, according to the Bible, then it ought not be that we're putting pictures online of ourselves and anything less than what is modest and what is right. We need to do right and walk right. We're going to stand before God one day. You say, well, but we're not going to answer for our sin, but you will diminish your influence. Your spiritual influence. I don't want to put our young people on a course of, well, we're gonna as a church and as workers, we're gonna ride this line. Well, guess where they're gonna land? So I'd rather be way right with God and way overboard than to put it right on the line and say, all right, now next generation, you take it. They're gonna slide on down. There is a judgment seat of Christ one day. Let me give you several areas here what the judgment seat of Christ is. Number one is this. And then next week, Lord willing, next Sunday night, we're going to talk about how are we going to be judged. So, in other words, if I have a couple of teenagers come up here, a couple of teen boys, and I say, all right, guys, I want you to clean the churchyard today, and I want you to clean the building. All right, they're going to do it their way, which is most of the time not much. And then I'm going to say, now, wait a minute. I was going to pay you, or I was going to buy you a hamburger, but you didn't do this. They say, well, all you did was say clean up the yard. All you said was clean up the building. You didn't really tell us how. But if I say, all right, boys, come up here. I want you to mow everything. I want you to weed eat everything. Then I want you to blow the parking lot off, and I want you to sweep off the sidewalk. And then in the building, I want you to vacuum, and I want you to dust the furniture, and I want you to clean the pews. I want you to straighten up the song books and pick up the toenails that people leave. And I give them a list. Then I can go down that list and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or I'll say, it was right here and you didn't follow. I could see where you did a little, but you didn't follow it. So there are ways to know what God wants from our life. We're going to cover that next week. But what is the judgment seat of Christ? We'll just cover this tonight. Number one, it is a place of recognition. It is a place of recognition. Now, I don't want, and I know that I probably run people off over time because of my personality or the way that I do things, but I heard Lester Roloff say this one time. If you're waiting for me to appeal to your flesh, you're going to be waiting a long time because I'm not here to feed your flesh. So I don't pamper people. I never have. We've had people leave because I wouldn't acknowledge that they weren't in church every other Sunday. If you're going to skip church every other Sunday, we're moving forward. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to visit you or send people to visit you, but I'm not going to, oh, y'all pray for so-and-so. They're out again. No, you're stinking backslidden. And need to get right with God and need to get in church. And by the way, look around. It may not be a huge numbers, but I believe there is a spiritual side to this church that can be measured when you look around at the young people and the young adults and the middle age and the older folks, because we're not here to appeal to our flesh. And that's why it's so important that we watch the way we dress as workers and we watch the way we sing and present ourselves. And it's also a reason why you and I've got to crucify the flesh all the time. Because if not, here's what it'd be. Well, he didn't recognize the fact that I put that nail in the wall last week. Well, I tell you what, he always calls out people, but I mean, he didn't recognize the fact that I brought that cake. See, here's the thing. If we're not careful, we'll live in the flesh. And if someone pampers us too much, we expect that. I'd rather be if somebody notices what I do. Let another man's lips praise thee and not thine own. That's wonderful when you get recognition. But here's what I'm trying to say. If no one ever recognizes anything you do, or you do something for the Lord, but no one seems to have noticed it, I want you to know this. There's one person that notices, and it's a person that matters the most. Look in Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. The Bible says in Hebrews 6 and verse number 10, I love this verse. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. One of the things we'll talk about next Sunday night on how are we judged, one of the ways we're judged is based on the memory of God. God is not unrighteous to forget. People say, preacher, you remember back in 2004? I'll immediately say, nope. They'll say, well, you remember that time we all went out? No. If I see a picture sometimes, I'll say, you know, I do remember that. I do remember that happened. I remember we went to that camp, and I remember Brother Trent and I were cleaning out some closets the other day, and there were some trophies in those closets and old trophies. I mean, we chunked them all. So I know some of you are hoarders like Fred Sanford, but I figured if they haven't been touched in 20 years, it's probably not that important to us. So we were cleaning out and we found a trophy, junior camp 2010. Best overall church Christian spirit. And when he pulled it out, I said, I remember that. You know why I remember that? It was the first year Brother Greg didn't go. Yeah, he had been going forever. And I remember ripping on him about that. Oh, that Sunday, look, we finally won the church best overall Christian spirit. When I see things, I remember, but my memory is horrible to begin with. But here's the thing, we don't have to write it all down because God is. There's a good chance you've done more for the Lord in your lifetime than you remember what you've done. And far greater, you think, man, I wish I had more time. I wish I had more energy. I wish I would have given him more. I get that. I do get that. But friend, you're talking about for some of you years and years and years and decades and decades. And many of you have been in this church for a long time now. And friend, the Bible says God will not forget what you've done for him. But I want to dissect this passage here a little bit further and make sure we understand it. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. All right. So if we put a picture, what the missionaries call slideshows, if we put a video together and we had all the pictures from the past 20 years, and you'd say, oh, I remember that carnival, or I remember that, I remember this, and I remember happening. I remember Trent winning a competition as a junior boy, and it was, you get to go eat lunch with a pastor, and here's little old Trent, and man, he's going in the restaurant there with me, and he's just looking, he's excited because we're about to eat, and I mean, he was fidgety little Trent. He's not that way anymore. Can we do this? How are we gonna? And he's just fidgeting. We get in a La Pradera and we sit down, and all of a sudden he just changes. He becomes this 30-year-old. I don't know how old you were, Trent. I mean, he's just a little bit. Yeah, I'm just really glad that I get to go, and I really tried hard. He sits down and says, "So what are you preaching on this week, preacher?" Like, he just becomes this man. So I remember little stories here and there of things, but again, hey, don't even worry about remembering it all, because God does. But no matter how long you've been serving him, I want you to notice the rest of that verse. You have shown toward his name in that you have ministered to the saints. Here it is. And do minister. Maybe you can't do what you used to do, but you could still do something. All right, some of us are younger and have health and energy. We're just making excuses. But you don't understand, I've got this going on and that going on. You're going to want to have a good judgment seat of Christ one day. And let me encourage you, no matter what your age is, stay faithful to God. Find something to do and do it. Some of the most needed people in this church are prayer warriors. Now hear me, and don't take this wrong, but I don't need a 25-year-old. I don't need a 30-year-old to be my prayer warrior. I need you to get off of your can. And get busy teaching a class, working a children's church, running a bus route, singing, preaching if God's called you to preach. I'm not telling you don't pray. We ought to all be prayer warriors, if you will. But I'm talking about folks now that will walk in on a walker or walk in on a cane. Listen, even you older folks, be careful. I notice older folks can get wrapped up in social media also. Amen. Nothing wrong with it to an extent, unless it's robbing your time you could be spending. Some of you can't go soul winning anymore. You can't get out and maybe walk those streets. I'll never forget Percy Benner going out when I think he had hit 90 or very close to it. And he went out and everyone would tell him, "Brother Benner, you don't need to be going out there anymore." And he came in one night with blood running down his forehead because he had tripped over a tree stump. He didn't let that stop him. He was out the next week. So do what you can with what you have, and realize God says, "I remember what you did, but I also see what you're doing now." And look at verse 11. "We desire that every one of you," not just some, not just the pastors or the retired pastors, not just the deacons and their wives, the pastor's wife, not just the preacher's family, "but we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." What is that? Until the Lord comes back or until the end of your life, do what you can with what you've got left. Verse 12, "that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." All right, so the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a place of recognition. It's wonderful. It's great when you get recognized. It is. I think all of us would agree with that. Everyone wants a pat on the shoulder every once in a while. Everyone wants to be, you know, thank so-and-so for that. I'm just trying to say to you tonight, please don't let it creep in your mind that this somehow I've got to be recognized. Just know that the God of heaven sees what you're doing, writes it down. When you stand before God, that's who matters the most. That's where you're going to get the recognition. I like that little glass plaque that you got me on my 20th. The 20th anniversary as pastor. It's right there on my bookshelf, and I look up and it says, you know, "faithful servant, shepherd," or something. And man, I enjoy that. That's nice to be recognized. But I don't have to be recognized every day and every week and every month. And boy, if they don't see what I did, don't ever let yourself creep into that mindset and that attitude. Always keep the judgment seat of Christ before you. The judgment seat of Christ is a place of recognition. The Bible says in Revelation 22 and in verse number 12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Not as his work was, as his work shall be. All right, stay as faithful as you can until the Lord calls you home. So the judgment seat of Christ is a place of recognition. But I want to say also tonight, the judgment seat of Christ is a place of rest. Now, I know no one in here is looking for rest, right? I like Sunday afternoons because that's the only nap I get during the week. It's just like programmed in me. It's Sunday, you got to take a nap. And And if I don't get a nap, it wouldn't be pretty on Sunday night. It already isn't sometimes. But if I don't get a nap, and I come by it honestly, it's a place of recognition. But the judgment seat of Christ is a place of rest. I remember as a kid roofing houses. I've said that before. Brother Richard and I roofed houses together as teenagers. Really, really younger teenagers. I pick on him a lot, but I never pick on someone I like, so don't worry about it. But we roofed houses together long before we were brothers-in-law, and man, it was always nice. And Dad roofed houses with Brother Barker, Brother Weldon Barker. And I used to love it when we got in Brother Barker's truck, and he'd always say this, "Little Ogney, let's point this truck towards the Thunder Chicken." And that was their ranch out there in Edgewood where they had those emus. It was the Thunder Chicken. And man, I'd love it when we got off of those stinking hot roofs. How many of you have roofed houses before? Miserable. Miserable. And especially during the summer, after about 9:30, you're ready to get off of that roof. You go lay in the yard and just to get that rest. At the judgment seat of Christ, here's the thing. All of our earthly work for God will be completed. No more doors to knock. No more buses to run. No more sermons to prepare. No more lessons to teach. I know between your job and your work at the church and here, you stay busy. We stay busy, but man, I'm looking forward to that judgment seat. The Bible says this in Revelation 14 and verse number 12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice, Revelation 14, 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Their works do follow them. There is a judgment seat, but the judgment seat of Christ is a place of recognition. It's a place of rest. Number three is this. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter number 16. Thirdly is this, the judgment seat of Christ is a place of reporting. The place of reporting. Luke 16 and verse number 1. He said also unto his disciples, "There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." Young people, let me encourage you, don't waste your life on the world. Don't waste your life on the world. You could be sitting in church and be as worldly as can be. Some of you, unfortunately, don't have parents in church. You don't have parents setting a good example. There's some of you sitting in here. I've listened to you for years go back and forth on whether you're going to live for God or live for the world. And it's time to decide, you know what? I'm going to serve God with my life. God's given me some ability, some talent to serve him. And I'm not wasting his goods. And he called him, verse 2, he called him and said unto him, "How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward." That's a picture of us one day giving an account to the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians, or actually go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And let me read you a couple of verses, a couple of passages. 1 Corinthians 4 says this, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in steward that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. The church at Corinth was very bad at judging Paul. And Paul said, "You don't bother me. You can judge my speech. You can judge my smarts. You judge whatever. You judge my motive." He said, "I don't care. I can't even adequately judge myself." He says this, "For I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." All right, so we're going to stand before the Lord one day. We cannot adequately judge ourselves. Certainly no one else could judge our motive, our heart, and all sorts of things. So let it go. You face judgmental people. Just let it go. Romans 14 and verse 12 says this, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And we saw that last week. Now in Luke chapter 19, look at verse number 11. And as they spake, these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. All right, God wants us to stay busy. Sometimes I'm tempted as a church. I'm tempted, and I've done this a couple of times. It's been years ago, but there's been times where I've canceled a couple of months worth of activities. I just felt like our church was worn out and, or things had gone on. And so, you know what? We were going to have this, this, and this for the next couple of months. We're going to have church. So I get that, and I try to watch for that. And sometimes I'm tempted to say, you know, let's just have a sabbatical year in the sense of let's not have campaigns. Let's not have revival. Let's just have church. Let's just get rest. But here's the thing, it's my job to keep us busy as a church. And there are some things you can do and some things you can't do. But God said, I want you to occupy till I come. I want you to stay busy. We're busy people. We're just not always busy about the right things. And if we're not careful, we'll fill our schedule with things that don't really matter. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now, about two messages, I think, from now, we're going to talk about what the rewards actually will be. Part of that is going to be leadership and being able to rule and reign during the millennial kingdom of Christ. The second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came saying, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because that thou art an austere man, and thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not. So another person just making excuse for not doing much with what God gave them. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man. And by the way, if this is a picture of Christ here, and so just to make sure in this sissy world we live in, that you understand what austere means, it means demanding. It means hard, tough, and expecting. It means not a Joel Osteen pastor. It means not a pastor that's going to pat us on the bobo when we miss church every other week. It's a pastor who's going to get up every once in a while and preach hard against the flesh and jealousy and gossip and criticism and all those things. I promise you, you don't want that shallow, constant preaching of just, you're the best, you're the greatest, you can make it, this is your day, you. That's not, hey, the Bible says even about the Lord. The guy says, I know you're hard, tough, expecting, demanding. Well, yeah, because he gave us our life. He gave us our breath. We were created for his good pleasure. He has a right to expect from us. He said, wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pounds, and give it to him that hath the 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Hey, Biden may give you what I have now, but you're not getting my rewards at the judgment seat. You're getting your own, or you'll stand there empty-handed. But those mine enemies, now he's going to talk about a whole other crowd, those mine enemies which would not, remember this guy comes back to take his kingdom. So when the Lord comes back, those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. And that's a verse that is a picture of the great white throne judgment of God. All right, so what is the judgment seat of Christ? It is a place of recognition. And only one life so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. So when we get to the judgment seat, it's not going to, God's not going to ask me how many deer I killed or how many fish I caught or, you know, how many vacations I went on or what beauty I saw around the country or the world. None of that's going to matter. It's that you stay faithful. By the way, it's not as much what you produce as it is you just stay faithful. There's another thing that's just been irking me lately. It's watching older folks. I'm not talking about folks in here. Older folks online, people that I see online that I have great respect for, that have gone back to, they may not just be all the way out in the world, but they're vacationing on Sundays. Their dress, their standards they used to have, totally changing. It's just like, why would you do that? You're at that grandparent age now. You're at that example age. Your kids that are adults, they need to see mom and dad are faithful all the way to the end. Your grandkids, dad sure need to see that, you know, mama and papa all the way to the end are faithful, to God with your dying breath that you are faithful to God. It's a place of recognition. It's a place of rest. It's a place of reporting. We'll give an account. And then the last one tonight is this. It is a place of reward. It's a place of reward. I was reading this afternoon, just some random reading, but how many times the Bible says, inherit the kingdom of God, inherit the kingdom of God, inherit the kingdom of God. Heaven is certainly a great reward just in and of itself, right? But I also want to remind us that we've already been given so much just when we were given our Savior. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 15 and verse 1, what God told Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." If we just go to heaven, it's like, thank God we're in heaven. But there's even more to it. You say, I don't care, I'm just, as long as I get into heaven. Oh, you'll care one day when you stand before God. You don't want to be empty-handed. It's a place of reward. You remember as a kid going to those little game places where you get the tickets, they shoot the tickets out of the thing, and sometimes the dumb thing is broken, it doesn't spit your tickets out. The other time it's broken, it spits 1,000 out. Or you walk by your little brother or little sister and they don't realize their tickets are coming out. You know, I never did that, but I'm supposing that might be what you did. And then you go up to that booth there and you're like, let's see, I got 942 tickets. Man, this cost me $38. I'll take the Jolly Rancher. This is one of those things I mentioned to you this morning. I'm not going to present the end times like the weatherman. This is going to happen. It will rain 3 inches. It is going to be sunshine tomorrow. And then they always look stupid because people are like, it didn't. They'd be better off if they said, it should be sunshiny tomorrow. According to our calculations, you should get half inch of rain. And that's the way I'm approaching all this. I haven't lived through it, neither have you. It's what things look like, especially with that tribulation period. But I don't know all about the rewards in heaven. We're going to give you a list of them in a couple of weeks. But I know this, God has promised us reward. The judgment seat is a place of reward. Look at Matthew chapter 16. A couple of the verses here will be done. Matthew chapter number 16. I like it when they honor older men and women of God. I really do. I like that when they, I enjoyed when my dad and I went to Brother Gomez's retirement conference back in September. I'll be honest, I can't imagine 40 years pastoring in one place. Now, I think it won't be long. I'll look up and it'll be 25 years here, maybe 30 years as the Lord tarries is coming. But 40 years in one place. I love it when they put a video out and all these people said that, and then they had all these guys and girls come up to the stage and talk about what an influence Brother Gomez was in their life. I think those things are great. I think they're special. I think if you serve God faithfully long enough, there's going to be some recognition here on earth. But the true reward that we're serving God for is not, it's not for a plaque on the wall here. It's not for a trophy here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." I didn't pay attention to the Olympics Number one, because they're boring. And number two, because it was in China. And, but I saw some clip somewhere where, I don't know, the Americans were, the Chinese or something, that it's amazing how many Chinese and Russian won medals this year. There's something about they weren't handing out their medals. The American athletes weren't getting them. They wanted them. They wouldn't give them to them while they were there. And I saw a picture. I just saw a picture. I didn't read the article. But they're all the athletes that won are like holding a panda. And I don't even know what it meant. I don't know if it's like, we have no more medals. We'll give to you later. After war, you know, I don't know, but you know how many, you know, they work a lifetime to be able to stand there with that medal. And there have been some good athletes, and there are certain parts of the Olympics that I do like. Figure skating, dudes in tights wrestling. But you let them ski down that slope and go way up in there, it's like NASCAR. You're just waiting for a crash, you know. But they do that just to hold that little medal up, get their picture on a Wheaties box. Can you imagine if that's all our life was about? We get to stand before our Creator one day. Like Brother Hallmark said in the men's prayer meeting, where the Bible tells us that praying to God is His delight. We get to touch the emotion of God by talking to Him. One of His children, approach Him, talk to Him. The God of heaven. One day, not the International Olympic Committee. The God of heaven one day is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They do it to obtain a corruptible, but we an incorruptible. Let me read you one more and I'll meet you over in Matthew. 2 John says this in verse number 8. This is interesting. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, which we've worked to earn, but that we receive a full reward. We'll look at that down the road. Apparently we can lose reward. I don't know. What if somebody serves God for 20 years and then goes back to living for the world for 20 years? You got to think you're probably going to lose some reward. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. We're talking about the work you've done for Christ. All right, so you taught all these kids, but then the last 20 years of your life, you live like the devil, and some of them are watching you. You influence them in a negative way. You think you're going to stand before God, and He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, God, did you forget the first 20 years? Be thou faithful unto death, He said. Matthew 16 and verse number 24, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. I'm done after I read this. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know why we can't find more workers? Because it would affect too many people's schedule. Brother Trent, I can't, you know, Brother Greg, I can't really commit to that right now. We'll commit to our jobs. We'll commit to our vacations. We'll commit to you name it. Well, you know, I do a Sunday school class, but I mean, you know, the studying and the calls and the visits and the follow-up, that's fine. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. You ever thought for just a minute about what you could be doing with that missions money? Double car payment, double house payment, buy a piece of bubble gum. You ever thought for a minute what you could be doing with your schedule? And I know people think, man, I tell you what, it must be nice to be full-time at the church. You know, this church pretty much dictates my schedule. If I'm away and something happens, blows up, it's right back. if it's 11 o'clock at night, if it's 6 o'clock in the morning. We have people that work night shifts and seem to think that my phone is just available to send me any reminder at any time. I want to go back to the day of landlines. Phones in the kitchen. And if I don't... I'm joking. Somebody's going to die tonight now. I was thinking, if you die tonight, you'll still be dead when I wake up in the morning. No, I'm not. I mean that. I'll just fall asleep at the time. It's like, bloom, bloom. 11:15, Pastor, I forgot to tell you this in church tonight. Like, let's have a lesson on, you know, you can schedule texts. You know, it'd be easy for any of us in here, just say, you know what? And some people have done this. They've gone back to living for self. I'm going to save my life. I'm going to, you know what? It's going to be about me. I'm going to serve God as long as I can still make this big paycheck. I'll serve God as long as I can still get this big house. I'll serve God as long as I can have this car, this house, this family, this many vacations, this, that. Hey, listen, it's a rewarding thing to serve God. And God will bless your life for your faithfulness. But there are too many today who are saying, well, I'll do this if God does this, 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 and this. And God says, all right, well, I'm going to show up one day and my reward is with me. And I'm going to reward you based on your work. And we're going to look at our short life, which is but a vapor, the Bible says, that appeared for a little time that vanished of the way. And we're going to say, you know what? I thought everything else was important except for the work I did for God. And I did very little for the Lord, gave very little, got involved very little. And then you're going to look back and say, you know what? I wish. Hey, it'd be too late then. How's your life tonight in light of the judgment seat of Christ? I hope you're saved. If you're not saved, I hope you get saved tonight. Get that settled. But it's Sunday night crowd. I hope you're saved. But if you're in your mind, you're thinking, you know what? I'm just ready to get out of church one day, go live my own life, go do my own thing. Well, I tell you, I could keep my tithes to me, my missions to me, my bus. It won't be back on Sunday night, be back on Wednesday night. Man, we can go to the lake on Sunday, and it won't be that pressure to get involved in this and get involved in that. I'm not building a kingdom for myself. I'm telling you, God told us stay busy as Christians, stay busy as a local church, and I'm going to give an account one day if I let this church get lazy because I want to get lazy. Are you serving God in light of the judgment seat? If it happened right now, the Lord came back right now, how good of a judgment seat would you have? It's a place of recognition. It's a place of rest. It's a place of reward.